And here we are on a Tuesday afternoon, right here next to the EA Welcome Center at the One Week Wonder. And this is a new operation this year, a fantastic idea that some gentlemen put together on behalf of EA and all the members and all the people who are showing up to do some exciting work. And I have Charlie Becker joining me, EAA's Director of Communities and Manager of the Home Built Community specifically, and Ron England, who's Chairman of the One Week Wonder area. Hello, guys.
Hey, glad to be here.
Good afternoon. It's great to be here.
It sure is exciting, the stuff that's going on around here. It's just a lot of rooting and hollering and clapping and a lot of work and riveting and all kinds of things going on. Tell the listeners what we've got going on over here at the One Week Wonder.
Well, what we have going on is we're building an aircraft in the 7 days of the fly-in. So we started with a standard Zenas CH750 kit, and I'm hoping by Sunday afternoon you're going to see it taxiing around right down there in front of Show Center.
How do you organize such a feat? I mean, AirVenture, as crazy as it is, you have to have people to do the job. You have to have people here who know how to mentor them to do it properly. There's a lot that goes into this. How did you start just putting this together to begin with?
Well, it started with a conversation of me and Sebastian Heinz at Zenith Aircraft to build an aircraft in a week. You know, his dad actually did it back in 1976 here at Oshkosh over one of, I think, the only nine-day convention that we ever had, where it started on a Saturday and ran through the following Sunday. But I had just mentioned to Sebastian on a phone call about a year ago, I said, you know, Sebastian, I'd really like to build an aircraft in a week again. I think it'd be a great way to expose people to the idea of building their own aircraft. And he immediately was like, yeah, I've been thinking the same thing. And basically we decided, okay, let's do it.
Meeting of the minds.
Yeah. And fortunately, he's put his staff to work making Gantt charts and figuring out exactly how long each component part's going to take to manufacture. And so it's pretty well thought out.
How much of the kit that they brought in here to assemble do you think is representative of the actual kit that you get at home if you buy a project, or is it pretty much prefab specifically just for this application?
No, there is no prefabrication beyond a standard kit. In fact, it's not even their quick build kit.
Oh, okay.
It's a standard Zenas CH750 cruiser kit. I wanted to make it as realistic as possible for people to really see what goes into the building, and that is really quite easy today. They have the pulled rivet technology. In fact, this kit has many of the holes done to the final size where you don't even have to drill it.
Wow, that's incredible. So tell us about how you organize such a feat. Once you and the Zenith company got together and decided to do this, what process started at that point? Well, you have to have a facility, you have to have a place, you have to garner interest.
Yes, we actually started on this a little over a year ago planning it out. Fortunately, we decided to make it a very high-profile location, so this is a new spot for EAA. We created the EAA Square, and this is one of the anchor things that we have going on. So that was just good luck. And then, you know, we needed a place big enough to handle all the volunteers that were going to participate, so it had to be a pretty good-sized tent. And if you look in there, it's pretty full.
It's full. It definitely is.
So then we had to create, we wanted to make sure that the messaging explained why you might build your own aircraft. And then we looked around and we said, we really want to include as many people as possible. So how could we do that? And somebody, I forget exactly who, said, hey, how about, you know, instead of a kissing booth, we have a riveting booth. And we let people walk up. We give them a little instruction so that they know what they're doing. And it's so easy to do with the pulled rivets. Once they've done one practice one, we walk them over to the actual aircraft, let them pull a rivet, sign their name next to the part, and sign the world's biggest, world's largest builder's log, because we have to track who built it to qualify for amateur built, and then they get a pin if they participate.
Very cool. And, of course, it costs nothing. It's a benefit of being on AirVenture grounds here at the convention.
Absolutely.
So how does he have it set up in here? You've got different stations doing different things. You just said that there's a riveting booth. What else do we have in here?
Well, we broke each component part of the aircraft down into kind of the subtasks. So you've got the right wing, the left wing, the flaperons, the tail section, the forward fuselage, the aft fuselage. And so each one of those has a team assigned to it with a very knowledgeable person kind of as the team leader, but the building is actually being done by either some home builders themselves, along with some just people that raised their hand and said that they wanted to be involved, you know, for a longer period of time.
Well, and there is a team of experts on the airplane here every step of the way, right, to oversee the process.
Yeah, the experts are pretty much around just to make sure that the quality is there. And also we're making sure that we have one of our volunteer tech counselors come by and inspect the aircraft just like you would do if you're an EA member. And again, that's a volunteer program, no cost. So we're making sure that we have at least our minimum three technical counselor visits as it goes along.
You know, I'm glad you hit on that, Charlie, because I think that's kind of been a movement that's been underway here at EAA for a little while. Just take a moment and tell us about the progress of that actual development that you just stated.
Yeah, we have two core programs that really help the home builder get through safely the building and flying of their aircraft. The first one is our technical counselor program. That's been a long-term program. I don't know exactly when it started, but it's over 30 years old. I know that for sure. And that's where experienced builders will come over and look at your aircraft in person, no charge, and make sure that you're doing everything above board and that you're not taking any shortcuts that you'd regret later. That's been very successful, so successful, in fact, that the FAA doesn't require any in-process inspections anymore. They just look at it at the very end. The other program that we put in place, that we've really put a lot of emphasis on recently, is the flight testing side of things. It's called the Flight Advisor Program. Again, volunteer program, experienced people that have done their own test flights already will share that knowledge and make sure that when you go to do your test flying, that you're doing it the proper way, that you're capable of doing the flight testing yourself, or maybe you need to go back to get some additional training. And that program is very important because you find that really the building isn't where people have safety issues, it's the flying. A lot of the amateur-built aircraft are way sportier than what they're used to flying in the GA market.
Well, and I know there's been this big push, and I think it comes from statistics mainly, from the NTSB and the FAA, and I know that EAA joined forces with them to try and get a solution to this problem. And it looks like it's been so far very successful.
Yeah, that's correct. Actually, we're going to be, we just kind of rolling out this week at the show, the additional pilot program whereby you can have a second pilot on board during the flight test part of the program. And so that's an exciting development that we think will enhance safety. And it kind of goes counter to your normal thinking about flight testing. Usually you want to minimize the number of people in the cockpit during a flight test, but every amateur builder wants to be a part of that first flight. And so sometimes we're finding that maybe not the best person is in the cockpit. So adding a second person that's a knowledgeable person that has gone through a number of flight tests on board, we see that as an enhancement to safety. You still let the builder enjoy the experience of being part of that first takeoff and landing of the aircraft. So we're going to roll this out and keep a very close eye on it to make sure that it's providing the safety results that we expect it to do. But we're really excited about that development. But yet, if you want to do it the traditional way, it's still available.
Sure. Well, it's a good program, and I think it's showing results already, even to this date, since it started. So this one-week wonder, Ron Wagner was brought in back to EAA out of retirement just for this week, huh?
Right. I'm here just as any other volunteer. I just happened to have worked for EAA for a few years, and Charlie asked me if I would come out.
Just a couple.
A few.
Yeah.
Not long enough. I wish I'd have spent my whole career here. But Charlie asked me to come out and act as chairman here, so trying to work with Charlie and make sure everything goes smoothly here at the tent.
So I heard a little of this rah-rah-rah right after the shift change. Let's talk about that. How is it organized, the whole process, as far as scheduling and people coming in? What do they do when they show up here at the One Week Wonder tent?
Well, there are really two groups of volunteers that are working. We have the volunteers that are actually building the aircraft, who are working with Sebastian Hines and his team, and that's what you heard, the rah-rah-rawing. They were checking in. They have a briefing every day, at 7:30 in the morning and then again at 12:30 to get that particular shift of workers up to speed and take roll and make sure everything's going to work. And then we also have the ambassador program, which I'm working directly with, where we have people who act as sort of hosts, supervising the Learn to Rivet tables and then guiding people back into the aircraft area to pull a couple of rivets and then sign the logbook as they leave and make sure that it all goes smoothly without interfering with the smooth construction of the aircraft. So that's another volunteering opportunity. We can still use a few more people. If you have a couple of afternoons or mornings you'd like to spend with us, we'd love to have you.
Excellent. Well, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and I think we're going to talk to the man himself, Sebastian Heitz.
That's correct.
We are on the fly over here at the EAA Square, the Welcome Center, Insurance Solutions, Merchandise, the Pathways Pavilion, and, of course, the One Week Wonder, and that's where we are today. You're listening to EAA Radio.